Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. David, I want to give you special thanks for the opportunity that you gave to me 3 years ago to join the staff of this church and the congregation. And I can only wish for you the blessing in your future that you and this congregation has given to me in these past 3 years. I have been charged with the responsibility of pastoral care as a part of the staff and the leadership of the church. And as we face a time of transition, it's always a challenge. And I hope that out of my few years of ministry and also of clinical work, I'll be able to share with you something and work with you together that we may grow in faith and understanding of one another, individually and corporately as a congregation, that we may more fully serve the Lord who has called us and that Spirit that leads us. The tribute to a leader when they leave is the maturity which the congregation shows in how and the way in which we go forward. And so we come together today, but remembering Lincoln's birthday. I don't think we've fathomed enough the greatness of that national leader who was such a gift to our land. His humanity and his humility, his majesty, who had that great hope of healing a wounded and divided nation, and so eloquently challenged us to understand how much we need each other and how much we have to work together. And it's also, we would be remiss in remembering the fact that February is African History Month. And I don't know there either where we've taken enough measure of the great treasure of grace and grandeur that has come out of the African-American tradition that came into this country and has been with us, bearing witness to faith in the midst of the sin of slavery. As we look at Lent, as a book that I always have a book, you know that. If I had the treasure, I'd give you that to study in Lent. And James Cone, the African American theologian, has just recently published a book called The Cross and the Lynching Tree. And I think if we really want to get a hold of what the cross of Jesus was in the first century, we would do well to understand how we crucified in our history the innocent and the oppressed, trying to keep down their will for life and a fuller place in our lives, that we can understand better the brutality of the first century if we understand the brutality of our own centuries and the way we broke faith with God's children in so many places. And so I think it's very appropriate. The lectionary gave us some texts today that are really delightful. And you see on your bulletin cover that Dan and Barbara came up with the picture of Naaman coming to the house of Elijah. And you heard the story so well-read, and the lament of the leper who, with all his power, suddenly discovered he was blighted. And his lament was heard by the servant girl, who said, imagine the faith of speaking up to them and saying, if only my Lord could meet the prophet of Israel from Samaria, he could be healed. And he was so desperate that he reached out, and then it got into high negotiations, and one king reached another king and terrified the king of Israel that it was a plot. You see, when you get into a power game, you can't trust anybody. And so they sent the word, and fortunately the prophets are kind of in tune to what's going on. They can read the underground, and Elijah heard the lament and the desperation of the king, and said, just send him to me. And then you have this picture of Naaman and all his people coming up to Elijah's house, only to be stiffed by the prophet sending out one of Elijah's servants rather than coming himself to do with grandeur the thing. And he said, go jump in the Jordan. But don't do it once, do it three times. Now, if you've been to the Jordan, as I have, you've probably waded in the Jordan. It's not much of a place to jump into, and you got to find a pool to do it. But he was so discouraged. But again, it was a servant who said, my Lord, if he'd asked you to do something difficult, wouldn't you have done it? And so, somewhat humbled and desperately needy, he went down to the river and did it and came out clean. Now, the part that wasn't described here, then he came back and wanted to bring all this bounty and that he brought to give tribute for his healing. And Elijah said, I don't want that. It's God who healed. I didn't do it. And so Naaman had to take his goods, and as that story goes on a little further. But anyway, but Elijah wanted to not give the idea that he had some power. Power, the healing power, belongs to God. And how we need to hear and understand that in a blighted and broken world. And then we come again to a leper story where in the beginning of Jesus' ministry, the leper came and said, you know, if you would, you could heal me and I'd be clean. And you know the wonderful part of that? That is so Jesus. He touched him. Now, if you had any idea what it meant to touch a leper, one was ostracized completely. But here Jesus, in his ministry, who himself was one of the ostracized, came in and touched him because he felt for him. He understood what it was to be on the outside, as he had been in so much of his own time and his own ministry, and he was clean. And then he ordered him, in order to be acceptable, go to the temple and, you know, work it out with the priest, but don't say anything. Now, you know, you tell somebody not to say something, and it's pretty difficult not to do it when you've had such a gift like that. But what it meant was, I don't think there was any big secret about Jesus wanting to mask his messiahship. What happened was immediately so much excitement came that he had to get out of town. He couldn't continue the work because one was bragging about what he did. But I think and feel that what this is talking about is it is God's will for wholeness and healing. God in Christ and through the Spirit wants the healing to come to the hidden and broken places, the forgotten and desperate and beleaguered of our and any time. And it's interesting, the one that really hears that message has been the humbled, or the marginalized people hear it. And that's always been true with Jesus. And so often, we get into a place where we forget, because we're not marginalized as they were and as Jesus was, but that he really wanted to enter into the suffering and to the pain of people wherever it was. But one of the problems of our time is that, you know, we've sanitized the saints. We've made Jesus look so neat and proper that we forget that he was one of those who was not recognized by the multitude, that was not important to those except those could hear and those were able to follow him. And so he wanted to reach the leper. So did the prophet of Israel. And synagogues and churches have had these stories. Not everybody was healed, but the task of healing is there and it's available for us. And the issue here is that that has to go beyond ourselves. And we talk about the lepers of our society. HIV was considered as a leprosy in our time, but isn't the only place. You could make your list of the places where people have been marginalized by addiction, by relationships, by broken businesses, by betrayals of relationship and understanding, where the trafficking of the persons, which is scheduled as taught to be one of the biggest threats that may be present in the next century, more even so than narcotics, is trafficking people and especially women. And so called in the place to go beyond fear. I think that the biggest issue that paralyzes caring and healing and working and relating is the development of fear of one another, maybe fear for our place, but the understanding beyond fear is that if we can be moved by love, you lose your fear because you don't think about yourself, you're thinking about the possibilities of what can be done in how we can relate and care and one another, be with one another, so that we move beyond the hatred that developed, that brought on prejudice, that brought on the ability to demean other people, so that we understand that. And in a world where the authority figures, the structures of our society are wobbling and threatening, and the world doesn't know where it's going and how it's going to find out and find a way, and how nations can come to some economic and political order, the message of God's healing is for all. But it calls us to step forward in a way we haven't imagined in the past, go beyond it, so that we understand that the origin of our hope is in the one who comes to touch all human conditions, wherever you hurt, wherever you feel blighted or torn or away from another. This is the place where we can be brought together. That he is the origin of our hope, trying to bring about transformation. And as he called the disciples to go out and do their part and to do their work, and so we are his disciples and we're called upon to be a part of his healing ministry, where we can touch those places and those people and those circumstances that may not be comfortable but are caring, that may not be popular but are compassionate, sir, working for one another. And so he has proclaimed us. But dare we believe that we have and can have a place, that there is in our world so addicted to bombs, a bomb, which we sang so beautifully, that came out of the African tradition that strengthened them during the days of slavery and has blessed us in our own time. But if we could remember those who have come, it was on the 7th of February that was the birthday of Dom Elder Camara, one of those who saw the church being in Brazil, being too honored and too prestigious. And so he took on a servant role and related to people because he realized that I can talk about and feed the hungry and I'm a saint, but if I ask why are they hungry, I'm a communist. And when actually one was sent to assassinate him, they came to his place and said, the assassin came and said, I can't do this because you're one of God. And it was on February 10th, 1990, that Nelson Mandela was released after 27 years of prison. And he came out of prison when he had been a leper to the apartheid society. And yet he came out with a message of healing. He was willing and striving to touch the wounds of a society and try to bring about a reconciliation so that it could be a land where we found one another, related to one another, cared for one another. And it's the 200th birthday of Charles Dickens. And if you, my grandmother told me that her grandmother told she couldn't read Dickens. It wasn't appropriate for young women. But Dickens is one who touched the wounds of his society, who had the vision and capacity to see it and to reach it and to do it. And so in our time, we've got some healing, we've got some wounding, we've got some needs. Can we come together as a people of faith who will listen to one another, who will hear one another, and so doing, train our hearing so that we can hear the pain? Are folks going to hear the pain in Panama, or hear it in Palestine, or hear it in Pakistan, or hear it in a neighbor, or hear it in our hearts? God calls us with a bomb versus a bomb. God's love, fearlessly applied in a world without regard for our safety, but for our souls, can venture to care for one another here, in our homes, in our community, and in our world. It isn't do we dare, we miss a great blessing if we don't. And in this time in our lives and in this congregation, may God guide us for the balm of blessing now and forever. Amen.